We've always been close, but not that close. He joined our class in fourth grade, and ever since then, he quickly assimilated into our friend group. I finished grade school with him, spent 4 years at high school with him, and even attended 1 year of college with him. And even though I would hang out with him pretty regularly, we never really talked. That is, until one long car ride, about 6.5 hours, from Minnesota to Wisconsin, one Easter break, freshman year. And you know how it goes on long car rides. It ends one of two ways. Either your small talk peters out into awkward silence, or you end up spilling your guts to each other in ways that surprise even you. On this day, it was the latter. After about 4 hours of sleepy silence, he broke the quiet with an unexpected question. Are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to go into the public ministry? Are you sure that this is how you want to spend the rest of your life? Even though I was taken aback by that question, I was ready. I very quickly told him that I loved being at Martin Luther College. I was so excited to be a pastor, and I was so passionate to share Jesus with the whole world if I could. The more and more I went on, the more long-winded my sentences became and more grandiose, and you know how it goes. And then, with one last crescendo of passion, I lamely ended with a polite question. How about you? If I had been reading the room at all, I would have realized that was a very foolish question. His face was stony. His expression was empty. Whereas I was confident and excited and passionate, he was the complete opposite. He was unsure. Unsure about going to Martin Luther College, unsure about being a teacher, and unsure about being a Christian. He went on to explain that he didn't think that Martin Luther College was a good fit for him, and he wasn't all that interested in that God stuff in the first place. And then he says something that made my heart and soul sink. Maybe when I'm older, I'll care about it then. But right now, I really don't care. I'll care about Jesus when I'm older. It's one of those canned phrases that you hear sometimes in Bible classes or during sermons as illustrations. You never really think it's going to reach your ears until it does. Here he was, a 20-year-old man who had been taught in a Lutheran grade school and confirmed in a Lutheran grade school, instructed in a Lutheran high school, and was now attending the Wells College of Ministry. And he was telling me that Christianity wasn't that important. But maybe you can understand. Early 20s, you know, he was full of bravado, full of dreams about what he could make out of his life, and it was the boring and the weird kids that were talking about Jesus all the time, and he was never friends with them. No, he was friends with the ones that liked to actually live their life, to enjoy the moment, to push themselves to the limit, whether they're swearing or they're using substances or engaging in sexual situations. God never really made a difference in his life. God never seemed to care how he was living. And the only thing God ever did for him was make him feel bad about himself. So no wonder he didn't care. He said he'd worry about God tomorrow, but today he was doing just fine without him. And wouldn't you know it, 8 years later, he's still waiting for tomorrow. He's still fine without God. That's the problem with waiting until tomorrow to remember the Lord, because tomorrow never comes. As soon as tomorrow arrives, it becomes today, and another tomorrow takes its place. And the same thing can be said about our devotion to God. If we say to ourselves, we'll take God seriously in the future, We'll take God seriously when we need him. We'll take God seriously when we're closer to the end of our lives. Time will go on, and that future prospect will only ever be that, something in the future. There's a lesson to be learned from my friend's unbelief. Don't wait until the future to remember the God who is with you now. The time to remember the Lord is now. I don't know the exact science, but it seems to me there's a point in every person's life that the majority of their words of wisdom boil down to three pointed words. Don't get old. Time waits for no one, and we know that. And the fact that 2025 is only a few hours away reinforces that. But before the elation of the New Year's Eve celebration sets in, I would like to take a moment not to look forward to tomorrow, but to look back to yesterday. Yesterday at Faith, there was a funeral, a Christian funeral, of a man who's today went from the sinful world to the bliss of heaven. But a few days before that day, his dying day was tomorrow, sometime in the future, something to think about later, until it became today. I know this is probably not how you would imagine spending your New Year's Eve, but just think about it. There's no telling when your dying tomorrow becomes today. There's no telling when the tick of the clock will go on and on without the accompaniment of your beating heart. It could be when you're older and grayer, maybe. Or it could be 5 minutes from now. We don't know. We don't know when God is going to call us from this life, and we don't know when God is going to return to take us to be with him forever. Which means the time to remember the Lord is now. But you know this. I know you know this because you're here. To a certain extent, I am preaching to the choir right now. You're in God's house praying to him, praising him, and giving thanks to him for a year that's just gone by, and praying and praising for a year that's about to come. And praise God that you're here. It is a good thing for you to be here, so I will not berate you for not remembering the Lord. Instead, I will encourage you to remember the Lord not only right now, but in every now that you find yourself. Because remember the Lord is easy when you're in church. It is. It's easy to remember him when you're surrounded by his people and his praises. But notice when King Solomon encourages us to remember the Lord. It's not just once a week on Sunday. It isn't just when it's convenient or comfortable. It's not when we're in this house. No, we're to remember the Lord whether we are young or old, whether we're happy or sad, whether the times are good or the times are tough. We're to remember him during the mundane days, the exciting days, and even the devastating days. Every day is a day worth remembering the Lord, because he remembers us. But what does that remembering look like? Well, it's more than just a vague recollection that he exists. After all, the demons remember that. No, instead, the remembering that the Lord desires is a recognition that everything we have comes from him. Our food comes from him. Our drink comes from him, our clothes come from him, our homes come from him, our spouses come from him, our children come from him, our time, talents, and treasures, you name it. You can keep going. It all comes from the Lord, who is worth remembering. But it's more than that. We are not only to remember that the Lord provides everything that we need for our lives here on earth, but also everything we need for our eternal life. From the Lord comes our soul. From our Lord comes forgiveness. From the Lord comes salvation. From the Lord comes Jesus. The Jesus that we just celebrated as a little baby in the manger just a few days ago. the Jesus that we'll continue to celebrate in the new year through Epiphany, through Lent, through Easter, and beyond. Even though we're dust, and to dust we will return, the Lord continues to breathe in us the breath of life, the same breath that he breathed into the first man, Adam, and from that breath comes every blessing that adorns our life. So how can the dust forget the one who gave it life? Or what could the dust do without the one that preserves it? As we stand on the precipice of another year, ready to make a leap into whatever tomorrow brings, let's make remembering the Lord a part of every moment we get to call today. Let's remember him by thanking him for where we've come from and where we're going, by remembering him for what he's forgiven and guiding for what we're going to do. Let's remember him by acknowledging the grace that he's given us and the blessing of the life he's given us to live. In this new year, enjoy the life that God's given you. Enjoy your food and your drink. Enjoy your clothes and your home, your spouse and your children. Enjoy the peace that's been given you from the Prince of Peace himself. Enjoy the life you've been given, the life yesterday, today, and forever, because it's been given to you by the Jesus who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Though Lutherans have historically and culturally come off as a serious and somber people, I would encourage you to not let that assumed demeanor hinder your joy, the true joy that comes from remembering the Lord. But it's true that your joy is not going to look like happiness all year long. That's just unreasonable. There'll be times when you hurt someone, and there'll be times that you get hurt. There'll be times when you are offended by someone, and there'll be times that you offend. However, no matter what your nows look like in 2025, my prayer for you is that the God of grace continually fills you with the joy and the peace that comes from remembering him, remembering how he formed you and created you, remembering how he raised you and showered you with blessings, remembering how he forgave your sins and gave you life not only here on earth, but also eternal life forever. How he continually comes to you in Holy Communion and made you a part of his family through holy baptism. I could go on and on, but I think that's enough for now, because I have a sneaking suspicion there'll be a few more nows in store for you in 2025. But for now, I'll leave you with this. It is good to remember the Lord who remembers you. And may the Lord continue to breathe in you the breath of life into your nows, today, next year, and forever. Amen.